Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for episode 1457 of the show. Today, we have an encore episode with one of the Disney favorites. We're talking with Mr. Len Testa from touringplans.com and the Disney Dish podcast. This is a recording from last summer during the 12-hour live show where we talk about a lot of fun stuff. Of course, Star Wars and Galaxy's Edge come into Walt Disney World. The hotel, what's going to happen with that? We talk about Coronado Springs and why moderate resorts are pretty awesome. We talk about the hidden gem of the Garden Wing over at the Contemporary and much more. You're going to be cracking up for the next 50 minutes as Len brings, well, he brings Len to the show. Don't forget, today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at therunningbuddy.com. Planning a trip to the happiest place on earth? Share your love for your favorite mouse with the Running Buddy's new Disney Luxe Travel Collection. They offer a variety of products like Mickey and Minnie Mouse backpacks, purses, magnetics, hands-free buddy pouches, and more. You even get a free Disney pin with each purchase. Also, as a special gift to the VR Guest podcast listeners, use the code BEOURGUEST for 10% off at checkout. Check them out today over at therunningbuddy.com. Again, thanks to everybody who continues to support the show the easiest way possible, just clicking through our Amazon affiliate link every time you do that online shopping. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right, let's get to the show. This one is a ton of fun. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks again, as always, for your support of the Be Our Guest podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
All right, I think we have Len here. Len, how was the cookie?
It was a macaron. So let me just say, I apologize for being late. And in my defense, it's all Matt Hotchberg's fault.
That's it. That's what I would do too.
He emailed me earlier, tweeted me earlier today to remind me that it was Bastille Day, of course, of Vive la France. So then I wanted macaron, so I had to go to Brooklyn to get macaron. I spend like half my time in Orlando and I spend half my time in New York. When I'm in New York, I don't leave a 4-block radius of my apartment because everything I need is within 4 blocks in New York, right? My pizza guy, my dry cleaner, my halal guy, everybody I know is within 4 blocks. So when I go to Brooklyn, do you know what the phrase emotional labor is? It's emotional labor for me to go to Brooklyn. That's like so far away to me to go to Brooklyn.
Then when I got back, how long is it actually?
It's like 40 minutes on a train. Minutes. Right, I mean, exhausting.
Yeah, of course.
So I did that. Went to Brooklyn, which is lovely, and then came back and took a nap. And it's all Matt's fault.
Well, I mean, that's Saturdays are made for napping. I mean, we don't need to cut in.
No. Yes. So anyway, I appreciate your making time for me. So how are you guys doing?
I hope you enjoyed the nap.
Now I need something French. I need a croissant.
I know. Doesn't a baguette sound really good right now?
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been chewing
and
on
Lynn, you may here. Not know this, but we ran a challenge last hour. And if we raised $2,000, which you'll be glad to know that we did, our company was going to match it, and we were going to release an embarrassing photo of Mike.
Oh, sweet.
We did do that, thankfully. Right. Yes. No need to worry. It's been taken care of. And we will be releasing that photo of Mike, which was basically a senior photo shoot in the Magic Kingdom, just to give you a little hint as to what's coming.
It's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Yes.
It's one of those things where you've been at Walt Disney World way too long. You're not thinking clearly. You just downed an All-American Sunday. You're just sitting waiting for the crowds to leave Main Street. And you're exhausted. And somebody's like, well, we should. I was just resting on the side of the street there on Center Street. And and I was like, well, if I was Ricky, here's how I'd be sitting. Because Ricky does senior pictures all around Atlanta.
Like, I'll find like a really cool spot and I'll just say, hey, here, I'll hand my camera to Brian and be like, here, take my senior picture. And it's just like, you know, these random spots in Atlanta.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Mike has taken them now.
Mike, don't explain. The picture needs no explanation.
Yeah. I was going to say, it stand on its own.
That's beautiful. Be proud, my friend.
Yeah, apparently we're going to canvaspeople.com here shortly. Because I hear they like podcasts. I don't know. I've heard their ads on other shows. So anyway, let's hop into some Disney talk. We got a lot of folks tuned in, and they're excited to have you here. So I was listening to your show with Jim this morning on my run, and you guys talked about Toy Story Land. But for those who haven't caught that podcast yet, initial impressions of Toy Story.
It's bigger than I thought. It's more detailed than I thought. And there are many fun touches around the land. I particularly like the benches made of game material. So dominoes or popsicle sticks or whatever. There are tons of things around the land that are social media ready. So, you know, fences with colorful backgrounds, things like that. I think Disney's doing that, you know, really well. In terms of the...
So they're ready for my senior pictures.
Yes.
Or your senior picture, whatever. Yeah.
Hop on a cootie bug. And there you go. You're set.
Exactly. That's going to be the name of my next album. Hop on a cootie bug. I think that's going to be some sort of jazz thing, I think. I think it'll be live in Montreux. Yeah. I'm already visualizing the cover art, but all right. But I thought Slinky Dog was very well done. The ride is more fun than I anticipated. I thought it was going to be something between the Barnstormer and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It's more like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and I actually think I like the ride itself a little bit better. I like the little touches to, 1970s era games and toys all along the ride. I thought the landscaping was pretty mature for what it was. Also like the view of Galaxy's Edge that you get.
Yes. It's like I can't look at the ride. Like as soon as you crest that hill, I'm like,
that's exactly
it. Turn to the right.
I missed a good quarter of the ride because I'm like, okay, now where is that in Galaxy's Edge? Where am I on the little map that they created? Yeah, that was good. Aliens, swirling saucers, yeah.
Same.
Here's the thing. I mean, it's Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. You don't get any bonus points doing it the second time. Like the copy of the ride never gets the same rating as the original ride. I thought that's fine. I didn't get a chance to try the food there. Did you get to, Mike, when you were there, did you try the food?
Yeah, we were really lucky because Pam and I were down there for the media thing, and they gave us mm-hmm. everything that they were serving in sure. Woody's lunchbox.
Oh,
in
wow.
As much quantities as we wanted, so I can't tell you how many of those Pop-Tarts. I had so many of those. And, you know, I thought everything there. Now, here's the thing that we got from – we went back a few times after the land opened and ate at Woody's lunchbox. And the thing I heard from my buddy Scott and other folks was that it's more of like a snacking location rather than a dining location, because you're not really going to fill up on those small sandwiches, tomato soup, and you know, tachos fill you up.
You may not
really
fill
meal.
Up on those. I
did
fill
you?
Up on those.
I didn't fill up on those. I thought they were more snacky things. Pam, what'd you think?
So I feel like the grilled cheese, I mean, the sandwiches when we went back, it was sandwiches and they came with a side. So you got soup, or there was a pasta salad. There was another choice that is completely, the tater tots, right? That it was.
No, the potato barrels. Yes. Potato barrels. Get it right.
Potato barrels. Can't call them tots.
Yeah. Every time I said tater tots, I had somebody from Disney PR look at me sternly and make air quotes and say, you know, these potato barrels are, you know.
These cylindrical carbohydrates.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, but that I thought, yeah, definitely that we would make a meal out of that for sure. I think it's designed for that, you know, in that space. I really do. The Pop-Tarts, I've heard various comments on. Now, I thought that the Pop-Tarts were good, but I'll give my little caveat. The thing I like about the Pop-Tart is the crust. So I'm not really a filling person. I don't really like things that are super sweet. So for me, there was a lot of crust and I was like, yes, love these. But
I like them.
Some people wanted more filling, I've heard. So, I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks.
What'd you think, Lena, the options there?
I haven't tried the food. That's the thing. It was closed the day that I was there, the whole thing. So I got to go back. I'm gonna go back next week for that. It all looked really good. The Pop-Tart looked good. I was very interested in the brisket sandwich, which I heard was by far the best thing on the menu.
Yeah,
it was good. I liked it.
My wife loved it. She loved it. My wife's not. She won't say much about her food. She just eats, and that's that. You know, but she's like, this brisket's really good. So
oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
I like the tachos too. Gotta say, I mean, I really did like the tachos. So
the same thing they sell at Busch Stadium. I mean, they're just called like you know loaded nacho tots or something.
Whatever,
I mean,
man. Whatever.
I know I can get something similar, you know, at the local sports bar here, but you know, in Atlanta. But it's just I don't know. I'm I enjoy
they're good.
The tachos.
Yeah, they fit the land really. I think the greatest thing, other than the adult beverages in Andy's lunchbox, that is kind of weird. You know, it's a weird dynamic. Like, what's up with that? But it fits, yeah, it fits like, the like, theme. Yeah.
I like to think that Andy had a stepdad that drank in the backyard a lot.
Could be.
But those drinks are tasty. I'll say yeah, that. Yeah. They're really good. So, yeah, they're fun. So we've talked about this. You know, obviously it's July. The land is open. It's very warm this time of year in Florida. Ooh, there's not a lot of shade. But, you know, we talked with Jim about this about a couple hours ago. But I just think that, you know, this is a place to make sure you visit at night. If you visit it during the day, go back at night. I think you're going to enjoy it.
The lighting package at night really does look good. And I think it's a lot cooler, too. Plus, the wait times tend to be a little bit lower than in the late morning. So.
Yeah. How are you seeing with wait times? Because I know that it's not been what I thought it was going to be. So I think that's very interesting.
It's a little lower than we thought, about 20% lower than we thought. So we originally predicted peak wait times, you know, for the first month or so the ride is open, of about 120 minutes at Slinky Dog. And I think it's hitting like 95, maybe 100.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a little less than we thought. And I'm kind of surprised by that, given the lack of actual rides in the studios, number one. Mm-hmm. But number two,
right,
you know, the only ride available in the studios prior to this for kids was Toy Story Mania.
Right.
So for this one, I thought that there would be a little bit more demand, but it could be that the extra magic hours that they're doing are just crazy for that.
Yeah.
And it could be that people are getting in and getting done.
Yeah.
Like by noon or 1 o'clock.
So I'll tell you personally, we were staying at Yacht Club. And so I got out every morning and ran before we went out and started the day. And so obviously I'd run that loop around Crescent Lake and down to the studios and back. And I would get to the studios at my first lap. I would get there at about 6:05 or so in the morning. And there were people like waiting there each morning. I mean, all 4 days that we were there, I mean, just chomping at the bit. And I saw people posting on social media that they were on the buses before 5 a.m. to head over. But also later in the day, I'd see that post that they rode Slinky Dog 3 times. They got on Toy Story Mania 2 times and they were moved on to the rest of the park by like 9:30. They were done.
That's what I think. Maybe they're just getting everything done. Cause again, there's 6 things in the park now, 6 rides plus a few shows. Yeah, sure. You know, you could be done by 1 o'clock.
But here's the thing, though.
Especially if you get there before, you know, at early extra magic hours or, you know, rope drop. Well, every morning has early extra magic hours. So, yeah, especially if you get there at early extra magic hours, you could really bang out everything and be done.
Yeah, exactly.
What I get, though, you know, because the studios, you know, it's in a definite transitional phase. We're getting another storm, so just heads up on that. I apologize. We're having Florida thunderstorms in St. Louis all of a sudden. But it's because it's 99 degrees, probably.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, jeez. My God. Okay. It's like walking on the sun right now out here. But it's just, and I just did that for 2 weeks in Florida. It's like I can't get away from it. Oh, but I will say, you know, the thing is we had a great time at the studios. We went there for our last day. We went there 2 days before we left. And by the time we got all of our pictures with all the characters and Launch Bay, we watched a skit by the Streetmosphere, cast members. That was a lot of fun. They did the Bachelorette game or whatever. We did Tower. We did Rock and Roller Coaster. We did Toy Story Land. And the thing is we didn't feel like we were shorted. Like, I know there's not a lot to do at the studios, but it filled a good chunk of our day and we had a good time. So I think even though the studios is in a transitional period, I think you can still get a lot done there and have a good time. It's not a half day park, really. I mean, 3/4 maybe.
3/4.
Maybe 3/5.
5/8.
Yeah, let's round the decimal. I mean...
Exactly.
I don't know. So what else? We talked about Galaxy's Edge there for a second. We're getting closer. We're inching there. So what are your, I mean, I can't imagine what this is going to be like on opening weekend. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, are you camping out yet?
That's
are people,
you're right. Like, yeah, you
is, I mean, like I'm even thinking like I'm almost to the point where is it going to have to be a lottery like to get in the land that first weekend? I don't even know. What's it going to be like?
So Jim and I have had this conversation and here's what we're our background is. We know that people are still getting to Animal Kingdom, you know, 7 a.m., 2 hours before the park opens, or 7:30, you know, an hour and a half before the park is open, to ride Flight of Passage if they don't have fast passes. And you see the same thing. You saw the same thing for the first week or so that Toy Story Land was open, where people were getting there at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock, you know, opening. So, you know, people are getting here. I would call it. It's not quite middle of the night, but it's very early in the morning, right? And these are for, let's face it, one, Toy Story Land is a relatively minor ride. Mm-hmm. Number two, Pandora's been open a year.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a great ride. Don't get me wrong, but no one loves the movie, right? So what's going to happen, right? So we contacted some people at Disney, right? Because I just finished working on the 2019 unofficial guide, and my question was,
just for old time's sake,
I know.
I just got the bell.
No. And so I had to write the first, you know, Galaxy's Edge section of the book, and you got to tell people how you're going to avoid crowds. And so my question to Disney was this, you know, people are lining up a couple hours before the park opens for Pandora, you know, during busy season. You know, what's the plan for Star Wars? Because you know that if you tell people that, you know, you can start lining up at 4 a.m., then not only will they start lining up at 4 a.m., but there'll be another line to line up.
Yes.
That
yes.
starts at like 11 p.m. the night before. Like, so my first question was, where are you going to let people stand for this, right? Like, is the studios going to be open? How late can people camp out? What are you going to do about like bathrooms and security and food and stuff like that? And my second question was, like, where on the walkway of the Epcot resorts will you stop people from actually getting onto Hollywood Studios? Like, will you stop them like at the boardwalk, right? Like, where will you let the line form?
Yeah,
for Epcot Resort. And I said, because you know, right? If you say that the line can't form until 4 a.m., people like me and Mike will have our families out, you know, quote, doing tai chi on the boardwalk
running
lawn,
the boardwalk,
you know,
for hours. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just exercising.
Exactly. You have a Star Wars park? Is it open? Really? Well, like,
really?
I had just brought the wife in. Yeah.
If the line happens to be here, I'll get in line.
If you think it's important, you know.
As they're dressed as Chewbacca while they're standing there.
Exactly. Sir, your son's in a robe and your daughter is dressed like, looks like she has cinnamon buds on her hair, in her head.
I thought that was next year.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
You know, we've never really seen the movie. Sorry, your lightsaber, can you turn it off while we're talking? and I was like, what's the plan? Because, you know, if people are going to be there, you know, if you say 4 a.m., people will be outside at 3 a.m. milling around. Right. And it's not like you can prevent them, right? If you're staying at the boardwalk, it's not like they can prevent you from walking outside. Like, what? Right. So, guys, what's the plan? And they wrote back and they said, we haven't even started thinking about it yet.
Oh,
is that a classic answer or what?
It's like, dear captain of the Titanic, what's the plan for icebergs? Oh, we haven't even started thinking about it yet. Like, it's exactly like that.
Well, you know what? Pam and I saw this in action. Actually, honestly, remember the night when we stayed because Slinky Dog was down for technical issues. They were telling us, but there was also lightning in the area. I mean, pretty severe lightning in the area, you know, but we wanted to ride one more time.
We were like, oh.
So anyway.
So what we had seen was the ride was down. And they cleared the queue. There was no standby line anymore. So then we're all just milling about where the standby queue would be if there would be one. And this poor cast member kept saying to us, there is no line. You are not standing in a line. You are not guaranteed to get in if it is to open.
So,
But then
they did like a test run. They're like, you know, they announced clear the track. We're going to do a test run here. Then it was like a stampede. Like, oh, I'm surprised somebody didn't get killed. It was crazy.
It was frightening.
Yeah. And so. I mean, you guys remember when Potter opened in Universal, there was a 10-hour line to get in the park.
Yep.
Yeah.
There
and
will
that
be
was
a 10 hour.
Potter.
I know.
But this is bigger by a lot.
Oh, it'll be way bigger. I mean, there'll be a there'll be a line to get in the park every day the first month the Galaxy's Edge is open. By the way, did you see it's opening late fall? Late fall ends December 22nd.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's gonna be the most anticipated land opening in Florida in a decade. And they're opening it the busiest week of the year.
Yep.
What could go wrong? You know, famous last words.
I, for one, often teach my children how to drive cars in Formula One because I think that's just, you know, that's just let's do it that way. Those cast members, man, the first 6 months is just going to be crazy because, I mean, the first week isn't going to be troubleshooting. The first week is going to be let's all try not to die, right? Let's just make it through to January. But then, I mean, you've got the marathon crowds, you've got Martin Luther King Day, I think going into February, you've got Mardi Gras, you've got President's Day. Yeah. Then you've got spring break and Easter, and they're all so spread out this year. They're not going to have, I mean, they'll barely have time to catch their breath. I mean, I think literally the first break they're going to see is like May. But the crowds will just be insane for all of that.
And that'll just be a breather because then it's summer, you know, and then the whole
thing. Yeah, then it's summer.
Hopefully they're going to teach the cast members Jedi mind tricks and just tell them you will walk to the next attraction. You will walk to Rock and Roller Coaster.
It's going to be.
Maybe they'll have a meeting between now and then.
I'm counting down. Pam, when's, because you can make reservations, hotel reservations, 499 days prior to your check-in. So for December 22nd, that's like next week, right?
Yep, it's coming up.
Yeah. And so
we've had people on the books for a long time wanting to book. Yeah, I've got with my
TA, I've got a standing reservation. Like literally, as soon as this day comes, get me at the boardwalk so I can walk over.
So do you plan to be there? I mean, obviously, I think you will, but I mean, are you planning to be there for the spectacle?
Just to watch, right? Just to watch.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my daughter and I have a Christmas tradition of going to the mall on Christmas Eve and walking slow everywhere.
Oh, God. Oh, I love it.
It's just our thing. We just, you know, we eat lunch, you know, we have a Christmas Eve lunch together, just us. And then we walk around the mall and, you know, we may buy something, we might not, but it's mainly there just to see the frenzy, the whole thing. And you know, and maybe a little bit get in the way. But we're going to, that's what I'm going to do at Galaxy's Edge. It's just going to be, I just want to see what it's like.
August 9th actually is 499 days prior to December 21st. Now,
okay, yeah.
If you want to make them for before that, you know, of course you'll have to adjust for that, but.
Yeah, they're saying late fall, and by late fall, I think that's the last day of fall.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So for people who want to be sure.
So what you could do, I mean, because you could still be in the case. Listen, you could do a rolling series of like 5 day reservations, right?
I have guests doing that.
That's exactly what I did. I mean, it's so So you stay at the boardwalk, you know, or beach club or yacht club, so you can get extra magic hours, which I'm sure they'll have. The extra magic hours will start probably. I mean, Mike, what time do you go for your runs? Like 5 a.m.?
Yeah, I leave about 5:15 before the sun, you know, kills me by 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be one of those, it's going to be like the marathon. You'll have to wake up at 2:30, do your run, be at the studios at 4. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's going to be.
And I'll get in and I'll be in bed by noon. It'll be wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's going to be it. It's just going to be, it's going to be great. I mean, you know, number one, the stuff that we're hearing that they're doing in it, is just incredible. I've heard they spent $1 billion on each one.
That's
like
crazy.
On each land.
So Steven in our chat has a question for you, Len. I think it's a good question. He's asking, should Disney have taken this opportunity to turn Star Wars into a fifth gate rather than a land at the studios? Could it stand alone and be its own thing?
I mean, the thing is, let's suppose they made it a fifth gate. I mean, the studios is legitimately a half day park right now. It's half a park. Animal Kingdom maybe is 3/4 of a park. They should finish the 4 they have.
That's my theory. I agree with you 100%.
Not for nothing.
They need to finish the 4 that they have. Yes.
Yeah, and God bless you already. But can we fix the Yeti before we build a fifth park? I'm just saying.
And of course, Epcot's not in any picnic of a shape either. So,
Let's just be perfectly honest. Yeah, so Epcot, Epcot needs some work. Yeah, so I think they've got four. I don't see a fifth domestic park. I mean, in the next 20 years, it's just maybe in 20 years. Because one of the things we looked at for that guide was Orlando's population growth, and it's scheduled to grow by almost 50% over the next 15 years as people move into Florida. At that point, you might start saying, four parks are full. We can move out. But I really think they're just going to expand the four parks. In fact, if you look over at the Magic Kingdom, the thing that they're doing with the Tron coaster is really interesting because it's going beyond the berm of the Magic Kingdom. Remember, it's going on the other side of the railroad. And once you accept the fact that you can go beyond the established boundaries of the existing theme parks, why do you need a fifth gate? It's just capital. It's just more bus transportation that you've got to route.
You've got to build the infrastructure of the.
Yeah,
actual,
it's just that's all so much upkeep.
Plumbing and electrical.
Yeah, I think four parks is what you're going to see, but you might see creative uses for land in the four existing parks. Like, there's this rumor going around about an eastward expansion of the Animal Kingdom. Have you heard this?
Oh, no.
So somewhere
and I'm on rumors, so I haven't heard this one. Right.
So right now the two sort of like medium term plans for the Animal Kingdom include Zootopia land where in Africa, right? So taking over Rafiki's Planet Watch, there's this sort of nebulous concept of an eastward expansion somewhere where like sort of Asia and Dinoland meet. Out back behind, sort of like to the southeast of Expedition Everest, and sort of like to the east of and behind the theater, the Nemo Theater. And I don't know what they would put there. I've heard rumors.
No, I'm just joking.
Well, I've heard rumors of the excavator coaster.
Oh, that would be cool.
Do you remember that from Dinoland?
Well, I remember when you came to Atlanta. I remember you talking about the excavator coaster.
There was supposed to be a roller coaster themed to excavation equipment in Dinoland, so themed to the excavation of dinosaur fossils, was one of the original concepts for Dinoland. That might be back on the table, but again, medium term. What I hear, and Jim has said some of this, was that it depends on what Zootopia 2 does at the box office.
That makes sense.
So we'll see. But again, they would push beyond the berm of the existing Animal Kingdom park to do that. Mm-hmm. So that means that at the Magic Kingdom, they've pushed beyond the berm. At Animal Kingdom, they're willing to push beyond the berm. Epcot with Guardians of the Galaxy, they've pushed beyond the berm. And the studios, not necessarily with the existing attractions, but if you consider how the Star Wars Hotel is directly attached but beyond the berm, it means that the existing boundaries of the park are flexible now. And I think that's something that we hadn't considered as armchair spectators before. And I think that's what they would do. They would expand the parks out more.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking to see because right now when you ride Space Mountain, you exit exterior to the building. You know, you're outside the building. They built a temporary walkway and you can actually, because you got to actually
crazy.
You got to cross the train tracks to get back into the park. And when you're out there, you see that the Tron coaster is getting put in back there. And it is like, wow, that is way out there. You know, they're making the park a lot bigger by adding that there.
They are. And like I said, once you accept the fact that you can go beyond the berm, you can just expand the existing parks out way more than you want.
Right.
But the other thing that I'm super interested in seeing like over the next 3 to 5 years is all the new hotel stuff. Coming out. So have you guys talked about the Riviera and the Coronado Springs?
So I'm super excited. We talked about this. This feels like 24 hours ago. It was in this show somewhere. I can't remember.
It was this morning
at some point, but it's the hazards of doing these things. But what I'm most excited for, and I love Coronado Springs. I have just fallen in love with that resort over the past 3 years. It's to me, and I've talked about this on the show, but I don't know if I've mentioned this to you. Listening way back in the day to you guys on WDW Today, for some reason in my head, I pictured Coronado Springs as being in a remote location because it was an animal. I think it was labeled an Animal Kingdom resort.
It's way closer to Epcot.
Oh, it's close to everything. It's a quick, I used to stay at Pop Century. It's a quick bus ride to the Magic Kingdom. It's right next to Epcot and the studios and not bad for Animal Kingdom. But the thing is, it's got such great rooms now with the refurbs and with that tower. It's going to be amazing. The restaurant. But I'm looking forward to that bar and grill out on the water. Put me there. Sign me up.
I walked around Coronado Springs a couple of weeks ago just to sort of see how the construction is affecting the existing rooms. And that was the first thing that really jumped out. Like, this isn't like just sort of a dockside restaurant. They built a pier out to the middle of the lake. Mm-hmm. And you will be out in the middle of that lake. That's going to be fantastic at night, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be awesome. I mean, I can just see as a guest, I'm not a conventioneer, but I could see that. You know, you go to some meetings during the day. It's a convention hotel. What a great place to kick back with colleagues at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And especially if it's in the dead of summer, it's probably going to be humid as heck. But like in the fall or in the spring, you know, the 3 days that it's fall and spring in Orlando, I think those, you know, those 72 hours will just be beautiful. No, it looks to be really, really nice. The other thing that I was super impressed with was as I walked around Coronado Springs was the fact that you can't actually see the tower from about half of the existing infrastructure in Coronado Springs. Like there are actually places where you're walking around the edge of the lagoon, and the way that Disney has put the landscaping in, you could stand, turn around and face the direction of the tower and not see it because of the way that they've put trees and shrubbery and whatnot in there. And that's amazing. I mean, a 15-story building exist within a couple hundred yards and you can't see it?
I didn't notice that, but you're right. When I was running, there were times I didn't see the tower. And it's the sucker's big. I mean, it's a gigantic building.
Yeah. And the orientation of about a little more than half the rooms is such that if you're in the room, you won't see the tower. It'll just look like the old Coronado Springs. And I think, I mean, we criticize Disney a lot for a lot of things, but the Imagineers placed that exactly where it needed to be to keep the feel of the existing resort and yet give you all the amenities of the tower. I mean, it's really a good piece of construction. I hope the interior is as good as the thought that went into where it went. And I've seen the concept art for it. It looks amazing. I think these are going to be more deluxe rooms than moderate rooms.
Yeah.
But yeah, the concert looks great. I'm excited about the restaurants. I think this is going to be a lot more people will know about Coronado Springs once this is done. And I think that's
great. The colors,
yes,
of the buildings,
yeah,
look it looks fantastic.
Yeah. I think they will probably need. So they've got Maya Grill over there, and they've got Pepper Market, and I love Pepper Market. It's my daughter's favorite restaurant in all of Walt Disney World, which I know is strange to say.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, but I think they you might see another restaurant switch coming up soon. There, we'll see. Well, I mean, I haven't heard anything, but it seems like that's not the right mix of restaurants for what Coronado Springs will do.
I mean, they put in a sports bar at Rex now.
I know that's but you know what? I blame America. I don't blame them. It's, people understand sports bars and they want to see games and stuff when they drink. It's a convention hotel. It's not the kind of place to go and have a quiet drink. I kind of get that, which is a shame because I liked that spot before, but yeah, it's fine.
It's a place for bad decisions at a convention is what's going to happen.
Yeah,
all right, fair enough.
That's going to get a couple people fired.
Yeah.
but we got to have those places. So, you know, you got to make good choices. Yeah.
The other thing that I heard was that the Riviera apparently is going to be much more fancy than we anticipated. I thought, and I don't know why I thought this, but bear with me on this one. I thought it was going to be Caribbean beach rooms in a tower. But what I've heard was it's going to be rivaling the Grand Floridian in terms of room quality. And I heard the restaurant there is supposed to be like as good as the restaurants at the Grand Floridian, which all rate extremely high on our reader surveys. So that is moderately surprising. Have you guys heard anything about this?
I haven't. It's to me, Caribbean Beach right now is somebody who is – you know, I'm always trying to give my guests, you know, and help them book travel, the best advice I can give them. And Caribbean Beach is the most nebulous to me right now because I think it's going to be very, very upscale and deluxe coming out of this. But right now it's just, you know, it's in that tough situation where they had to knock a lot of stuff down to build it back up. Pam, what are your thoughts on Caribbean Beach at this point?
I know that for a while, Disney has struggled with the image of Caribbean Beach. When I had first stayed there, I will say I have a fondness for Caribbean Beach that it may not deserve and many other people may not understand, but we honeymooned there. It was the only moderate at that time. And when I got off the transportation to Caribbean Beach, when I arrived at Caribbean Beach, I was like, okay, I'm on vacation. It felt lush and tropical. And it just felt like I was somewhere other than where we were coming from, which was Pennsylvania with the snow and everything else. So I always liked it. The rooms felt bigger, but I know it was a struggle for people. And you heard it ran the gamut on the complaints that they got, from it's too large to it's too loud, the colors are too loud, to you know, it had this odd situation where you checked in at the custom house and then the central location there at Old Port Royal was a different situation. You had to go there and it didn't have a big enough table service. So I know it has really, really struggled. And I just feel like with its location in particular, it's so close to Epcot, sort of right in the middle of things. It has always deserved something a little better than it was. And I hope that this is that. I hope that that brings it to it. I hope it's not such a, you know, it's not such a challenge for Disney. I think the problem's going to be that Disney really needs some more moderate rooms at this point. That seems to be the sweet spot in so many people's budget. And we're having a challenge finding them something. And when these specials come available, we're struggling because the availability is just not there. And I hope that they're considering this. It seems like they've taken away so much. They took away some of the rooms at Animal Kingdom Lodge, which was the least expensive deluxe to be DVC. They've taken rooms away at Wilderness Lodge, another least expensive, you know, deluxe resort. And now to have some of these rooms taken out of circulation and at the moderates, my advice to them is always we need more moderate rooms, but we'll see what happens in that space. So,
yeah, I'm kind of surprised that Disney isn't anticipating this, based on the fact that the 50th anniversary is coming up in 3 years. Like if you want another moderate hotel for the 50th anniversary, the time to build it is 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely, not today. They're not Universal. They can't put a hotel up in a year.
So I'm they have started construction on that Fort Wilderness DVC.
Right.
But again, that's DVC, so you know that's
It's true. I'm not entirely sure it's DVC, so it could be split like Wilderness Lodge, but that would be a moderate as well. So there's and I don't know how many rooms that is, but the video flyover that I've seen of it made it look huge. So they will have that. But yeah, I agree. The other thing with a moderate though is, I mean, the value resorts are at like $200 a night now, right? $150 to $200. What's a moderate rental up to like 300?
It can go up to 300 in a busy time of the year, especially if you're looking like at a royal guest room at Riverside or something like that. But I mean, the thing is too, is, you know, the struggle for a lot of families is when you're a family of more than four, especially a family of five, you know, you're really looking for something. At least you have Caribbean Beach to think about some of the rooms, Riverside. But I mean, it pinches you out because you got to look at a family suite or you got to go up to a deluxe. I think that, you know, Disney listened to that with Art of Animation, but I think it's just it's an inventory issue. I mean, Pam knows, you know, the thing is that those rooms are getting scarce for a lot of dates. And I mean, way, way earlier than they used to 3 or 4 years ago. So I think that what Disney needs is hotels. But I mean, you know best, because I think that with Disney, they want the rooms occupied 95% of the year? And, you know,
yeah, I mean,
like
their occupancy's hit 90% now, but their DVC occupancy is well above 95%. So when you think about that, I mean, 95% occupancy is essentially full, right? When you think about last
those rooms aren't getting redone enough.
Yeah, we were at Wilderness Lodge a couple weeks ago, and we did a couple nights in each of the different, so Classic Wilderness Lodge, Copper Creek, and then Boulder Ridge, and the Boulder Ridge rooms need refurbishment. We did one bedrooms both in Copper Creek and in Boulder Ridge. The Copper Creek rooms are really nice.
They're beautiful.
They look really good. The Boulder Ridge stuff is dated. There are parts of it I like better, like the kitchen setup is I think better than Copper Creek. Copper Creek is sort of like a galley style kitchen. But the decor itself is dated and old, and it needs to be updated. But I think they'll do it only because they've poured so much money into Wilderness Lodge that it needs to happen. But Yeah, I agree. Do you guys book DVC for guests?
Well,
there's a lot of availability that's open to us as travel agents. It really just depends on how much they have. But yeah, we do book the accommodations for guests, but through travel company. So we will tell you, we've had a lot of success in the past year just with, you know, like Old Key West and Saratoga, because there's typically availability there.
I'm glad
Old Key West is getting some love. It needed
yes,
it.
I love Old Key West.
So we're glad to see that. And I think it's interesting, the resorts that I feel have a better just maintenance plan in general, because I'll tell you, I just stayed at the Contemporary not that long ago. And those rooms, now it's been a while since they've been redone. The room that we stayed in, everything functional wise and just the look of it looked new. Like that carpet has been replaced with the carpet that they did during the last soft goods refurbished, but it looked good. That hotel in particular seems to be maintained really well in terms of, you know, there weren't stains on the carpet or rips on the carpet or things like that you might see
that's
at
good.
Other hotels.
But it's also $600 a night, so they should be doing
that's
that.
Right. Yeah, they should. Well,
Laurel and I walked around the Contemporary a couple weeks ago at night. And the thing I was surprised was when you go back by the garden wing, you get out to the far end of the garden wing and it's like being at Fort Wilderness. It's quiet. It is. Especially on the other side, the opposite side from the Magic Kingdom. I mean, that is quiet and remote. And the rooms looked great. But I often forget how good those rooms are if you want to get away from things but still be like in the middle of everything. The garden viewing rooms are really, really nice. The other thing, and I'm gonna type here for a second so I can find this out. Have you guys seen the cabins at Fort Wilderness?
We've stayed in them.
Okay, what did you think? I've stayed in them too.
Wait, are you talking about the cabins at Fort Wilderness or the Copper Creek?
Sorry, Wilderness Lodge. Sorry.
Yes. We stayed in one of those. Yes, we really liked it. Okay, I thought we were talking Fort Wilderness.
I was making sure we're in the right place. Because it was, God, when we got to go in there.
We did stay in the Cascade cabins.
Copper Creek, and I really loved it. I did. In fact, I liked it so much that I took very detailed pictures, I keep saying to my husband, you know, we could build one of these up here in Pennsylvania that would be a nice vacation home for us. So
it's
anyways.
Perfect. It's like two bedrooms.
I like
it's
the layout. I love the view. The one that we were in, we had a great view of the monorail and the Magic Kingdom fireworks. I just thought that they did a great job. So
which one did you stay in? Do you remember the number?
I don't want to say it.
No.
I'll tell you, because I remember it ended in 21, did it not?
Oh, so you were – those are great. That's what I was going to say. So, yep. So there's two sections, right? There's the ones that face sort of north, the 8001 to 8012. Now, I've stayed in those. In fact, I've stayed in 8006. And the good thing about that is you can see the Contemporary. You get sort of like the interesting boat traffic passing by, but it's very quiet. But the thing I love is that the entire back of the cabin is basically glass where you can look out, and they've got that screened porch area where you can go back out to at night, have a nice drink, not worry about bugs, right? It's great. Yes. But when Laurel and I were walking around, when we were staying at Copper Creek, we were walking around, and the last, let's say, five cabins, like 8021 to 8026, have the best views of the Magic Kingdom fireworks I've ever seen in a hotel that isn't the Polynesian.
We were so fortunate that we had that great view. You could watch it from your hot tub.
Yeah, that was it. I called my wife and I said, I FaceTimed her and I said, look at this view. I said, those are the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom right now. That's the monorail. Here comes a boat and my feet are right here in a hot tub right now with no mosquitoes. I was like, this is awesome.
Oh, it is a fantastic view. Plus, you get the Contemporary sort of like in the middle distance, and just sort of all lit up at night. Those are fantastic. I mean, if you guys should promote like photos of that on your website, you would sell out those cabins every night. I think they're fantastic views. I really like them.
I agree.
Did you try Reunion Station when you were at Wilderness Lodge, the DVC sort of like concierge lounge place?
I don't think so. Did you, Pam?
No, we didn't go in. We did not go in there. That's where the old the bar used to be by the pool, and we did not go in there. Did you check it out?
That's a spa. So the Reunion Station is between the marina and Geyser Point. It's on the backside of Geyser Point.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, absolutely. I know what you're talking about. We haven't been.
So I've done it. So it's $50 per person per day, but it's basically a concierge or club lounge that you can walk into in the morning, get a hot breakfast, any kind of drink that you wanted, and then do the same thing in the afternoon and evening. So it's basically club level, but for DVC. It was fantastic. The time that I was there, we were there for 2 days. I think Laurel and I were the only people in it other than cast members, like 90% of the time. Yet they had enough food for everyone. It was really, really good. The food was great. The drinks were great. The service is excellent. And then in the evening, they do hot hors d'oeuvres and then drinks and desserts sort of like from 7 to 10 p.m. But a fantastic deal. If anyone listening is staying DVC at Wilderness Lodge, I would say definitely give it a try.
I'm there.
Awesome.
You know what?
Yeah. It becomes more popular, so it sticks around.
Oh, so the thing I heard was that it's a test for the Riviera. Where it's going. So this one's in a separate building. You kind of have to walk out from Copper Creek Villas or the cabins or Boulder Ridge out to this thing. But in the Riviera, it'll be integrated into the hotel itself. And this is the test.
But maybe that'll stop people from showing up in their pajamas. Just saying.
I was going with bathing suits, but yeah, your thing works too. Yeah.
So I got to tell Lynn, you'll appreciate this more than anybody because Ricky unfortunately was not at the cabin, and she was a little jealous.
I'm
because
very sad and
she
angry
saw
all
she
once.
She saw my pictures, but I believe it was a Friday night that we were in the cabin, and because I was running the Star Wars race the next morning, the Dark Side thing in April, and so I have a tradition in our family that we have weird traditions here in the Rahman household, but. We watch live PD every Friday night,
yes.
You know, because we got to catch up on what's going on in Richland County, South Carolina. And so we're in this wonderful setting in this great cabin, view of the Magic Kingdom, Cinderella Castle, fireworks. What are we doing? We're watching live TV on the 70-inch flat screen.
And I FaceTime Ricky. They called me and FaceTime me because they know I like to watch live PD too. So.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, we're odd. The three of us are odd. Sometimes we watch the same show and text with each other while we're watching it. It's like we can't get enough of each other.
It's like, did that guy again say he only had two beers when he got pulled over and can't take a step on the white line? I mean, come on now.
Two beers.
Buddy, you had more than two beers.
Two beers in the car.
He's wearing somebody else's pants.
Exactly. Yes. Who doesn't have on their own pants? I don't understand. And why are so many people shirtless? Okay?
Shirtless, exactly. It's like if you walk out shirtless, you're basically saying, go ahead and arrest me. I have bad judgment.
Absolutely. And apparently there's a whole world of folks who never felt the need to either get a driver's license or renew it or, adhere to laws that might let them keep the driver's license. But they drive anyway, so.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like you don't know how to drive. It's just that you can't legally, right? There's a whole different, right?
I didn't even know this was an option. I don't know. I always thought you had to have the driver's license.
And let's make this clear. Richland County is in South Carolina. I know Glenn used to live in North Carolina, so it's all good, So I just making sure. They're my favorite cops.
All right. One of the live PD departments is actually my county, which I think is hysterical. So that's awesome. Like, I'm just like, okay, it's Friday night. Don't get pulled over.
Oh, and that's my daughter roots to see Ricky get arrested on live PD. She's like, oh my gosh, that's Ricky's. That's where Ricky lives. Maybe we'll see Ricky. I'm like, if she gets pulled over, I just hope she has on a Be Our Guest podcast t-shirt. That'd be great for ratings.
I don't think you want that, Mike.
This is just to show that we had some depth, that we have interests outside of the Disney community things. We also like live PD.
Ricky, well, now you're sort of obligated to at least get pulled over at this point.
Right?
Hey. So apparently I need a Be Our Guest, magnet for my back of my trunk and a Touring Plans one. I think that seems fair. So
you should be wearing somebody else's pants and for goodness sake, take your driver's license.
I need to take my driver's license with me. It's fine. So.
I got to say, I've ridden with Ricky on the 4th of July after the fireworks from Epcot trying to get me to get into Pop Century. Yeah, it won't be hard for her to get pulled over. I'm just saying.
I feel like it's legit if she gets pulled over.
Hush.
Anyway. You're taking a driving menace off the street.
See, that's what you get. That's we love Ricky. That's it.
You guys, y'all are haters, and I don't like you anymore. It's fine. I'll do a podcast with somebody else. It's fine.
You know what?
Glenn, are you wanting to do a new podcast? It's fine. I don't need them anymore.
Hey, let's go full circle. Let's just all blame it on Hotchberg again.
It's all Matt's fault.
Well, Len, we appreciate your time, buddy, and I know Saturdays are quite busy, and we appreciate everything you're doing. That's important. I mean, that's what Saturdays are for, right? I'd be taking a nap.
Kind of rest and recharge. Yeah.
Is that not how you always celebrate Bastille Day? I mean, you take a nap.
It is. It's true. Some macarons and a nap. That's what the. There might be fireworks later. I'm just saying.
It's
all right.
The French way.
That is. Well, hey, Len, thanks again for everything you're doing. How can people catch up with everything? I know I just listened to your show this morning with Jim on my run, but everybody, what's going on? How can people get a hold of me if they don't know?
So the podcast is the Disney Dish with Jim Hill on iTunes. You can catch me at touringplans.com or on Twitter at touringplans or at Len Testa.
All right, Len. Well, hey, I hope to see you down at Walt Disney World sometime soon. I know we couldn't catch up this time. I was at the media stuff, but we'll be down. I took Paige many, many times, just her and I, when she was, she just walked in from Ireland. I haven't got to talk to her. She was in Ireland for 6 weeks. She comes down to the basement and says, hey. I'm like, wow. Hey, haven't seen you in 6 weeks, but hey, how's it going? But when the show's over, I'll get to say hi to her. But now I got a 10-year-old Mallory who's, I've never taken just her and I down to Walt Disney World. So I think
you gotta do it.
Yeah, I gotta do that. She's like, you used to take Paige all the time. Just you. I was like, it was only Paige and I. What are you talking about? I mean, I had no other option, you know? So we're gonna take her in the fall. So maybe we'll catch up then.
Yeah, let me know. I'll be around.
All right. Well, hey, Len, thanks again.
I know, we'll be hanging out soon. It's fine.
I will, whenever you guys come down, I'll be there.
All right, Len, thanks. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Pam. Thanks, Ricky.
Take care.
Bye.
Go back to bed. All right. See you later.
Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Ricky,
come
in here.
Okay. I'm scared. Hold on.
That was so fun. Len just cracks me up, man. I could talk to him all night because he just cracks me. He was taking a nap and having a macaroon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.